This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. I am not a doctor, and nothing in this episode should be interpreted as diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Always consult a qualified healthcare professional before starting or stopping any medication, peptide, supplement, or health protocol. Let's talk about visceral fat. Not the fat you can pinch. Not the fat that bothers you in jeans. I'm talking about the deep, metabolically active fat that wraps around your organs. The fat around the liver, pancreas, and intestines. The fat that drives insulin resistance, inflammation, cardiovascular disease, fatty liver, hormonal disruption, and accelerated aging. Visceral fat is not just a cosmetic issue. It is a biological problem, and it behaves very differently than subcutaneous fat. Visceral fat is hormonally active. It releases inflammatory cytokines. It interferes with insulin signaling. It increases cortisol output and disrupts leptin signaling. This is why people with normal or even low body weight can still be metabolically unhealthy. This is also why visceral fat is often the most stubborn and the hardest to lose with diet and exercise alone. Traditional fat loss advice often fails here. Calorie restriction alone can make visceral fat more resistant by raising cortisol. Excessive cardio can worsen the stress response. And as we age, growth hormone, insulin sensitivity, and mitochondrial efficiency all decline, making visceral fat easier to gain and harder to lose. This is where peptides enter the conversation. Peptides do not burn fat the way stimulants do. They change signaling. They improve metabolic communication between organs. They influence insulin sensitivity, growth hormone release, mitochondrial function, inflammation, and appetite regulation. When used correctly, they can specifically target the mechanisms that drive visceral fat accumulation. Let's start with one of the most talked about classes of peptides in this space, GLP-1 receptor agonists and multi-agonists. GLP-1-based peptides work primarily by improving insulin sensitivity, reducing appetite, slowing gastric emptying, and improving glucose handling. Visceral fat is highly responsive to insulin levels, and chronically elevated insulin drives visceral fat storage. By lowering insulin demand and improving insulin efficiency, GLP-1 peptides directly reduce visceral fat storage pressure. Peptides in this category include semaglutide, tirzepatide, retatrutide, and other next-generation combinations that target GLP-1, GAP, and glucagon receptors. Tirzepatide acts on both GLP-1 and GIP. Retatrutide adds glucagon receptor activation, which increases energy expenditure and fat oxidation. What makes these peptides particularly powerful for visceral fat is that visceral fat responds faster than subcutaneous fat to improved insulin sensitivity. Many users notice reductions in waist circumference and abdominal bloating before they see changes elsewhere. This is not just appetite suppression. This is metabolic recalibration. GLP-1 peptides also reduce inflammation markers, which matters because visceral fat is inflammatory tissue. Reducing inflammation reduces the signals that keep visceral fat alive and metabolically active. Next, let's talk about growth hormone-releasing peptides and growth hormone secretagogues. Growth hormone plays a critical role in lipolysis, especially in visceral fat. As we age, growth hormone secretion declines sharply. This decline correlates strongly with increased visceral fat, even in people who remain physically active. Peptides like sermorelin, tesamorelin, ipamorelin, and CJC-type peptides stimulate the body's own growth hormone release rather than replacing it. This distinction matters. Endogenous growth hormone release preserves natural feedback loops and reduces side effects when used responsibly. Tesamorelin deserves special attention here. It is one of the most studied peptides specifically for visceral fat reduction. Clinical studies in HIV-associated lipodystrophy showed significant reductions in visceral adipose tissue without major loss of subcutaneous fat. This is important because losing subcutaneous fat too aggressively can age the face and body. Tesamorelin improves IGF-1 signaling, increases lipolysis in visceral fat, and improves lipid profiles. It also improves liver fat content, which is closely tied to visceral fat accumulation. Sermorelin and ipamorelin also contribute, though they are generally milder. They work best when paired with good sleep, adequate protein intake, and resistance training. Growth hormone is released primarily during deep sleep, and these peptides amplify that signal. Now, let's talk about AOD9604. AOD9604 is a modified fragment of human growth hormone that specifically targets fat metabolism without significantly affecting blood sugar or IGF-1 levels. This peptide was designed to stimulate lipolysis and inhibit lipogenesis. What makes AOD9604 interesting for visceral fat is that it does not rely heavily on appetite suppression or systemic growth hormone elevation. It acts more directly on fat tissue signaling. Many users report reductions in abdominal fat and waist measurements even without dramatic scale changes. AOD9604 is often stacked with other peptides because it plays well with them. It does not suppress appetite strongly, which makes it useful for people who want targeted fat loss without major caloric restriction. Next, let's discuss MOSC. MOSC is a mitochondrial-derived peptide. It plays a role in regulating metabolic flexibility, insulin sensitivity, and energy utilization. Visceral fat thrives in a metabolically inflexible environment, where cells rely heavily on glucose and poorly oxidized fat. MOSC improves glucose uptake in muscle, increases fat oxidation, and enhances mitochondrial efficiency. This shifts energy demand away from visceral fat storage. It also improves exercise tolerance and reduces fatigue, which indirectly supports fat loss. MOSC is particularly useful for people with insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, or age-related metabolic slowdown. It does not directly burn fat, but it creates an internal environment where visceral fat is no longer favored. Another peptide worth discussing is BPC-157. BPC-157 is not a fat loss peptide in the traditional sense, but it plays an important supportive role. Visceral fat is strongly linked to gut inflammation, leaky gut, and poor nutrient signaling. BPC-157 supports gut lining integrity, reduces inflammation, and improves nutrient absorption. By improving gut health and reducing systemic inflammation, BPC-157 indirectly reduces the hormonal and inflammatory drivers of visceral fat. Many people with stubborn abdominal fat also have digestive issues, bloating, or food sensitivities. Addressing gut health can unlock fat loss that previously felt impossible. Now, let's talk about thymosin peptides, particularly thymosin alpha-1. Chronic inflammation is one of the biggest drivers of visceral fat persistence. Thymosin alpha-1 modulates immune function and reduces chronic inflammatory signaling. By calming the immune system and reducing inflammatory cytokines, it reduces one of the key signals that keeps visceral fat metabolically active. This is especially relevant for individuals with autoimmune conditions, chronic stress, or long-term illness. In these cases, visceral fat often serves as an inflammatory reservoir. Reducing inflammation allows the body to release that fat. Another peptide that deserves mention is KPV. KPV is a short peptide derived from alpha MSH. It has strong anti-inflammatory properties, particularly in the gut. Like BPC-157, it supports intestinal health and reduces inflammatory signaling that contributes to visceral fat accumulation. Now, let's briefly discuss peptides that influence appetite and behavior indirectly. Peptides like C-Max and C-Link are primarily nootropic and anxiolytic, but they can indirectly support visceral fat loss by reducing stress-driven eating and cortisol output. Chronic stress elevates cortisol, and cortisol preferentially drives visceral fat storage. Reducing anxiety, improving emotional regulation, and stabilizing mood can significantly impact abdominal fat over time. This is especially relevant for people who carry stress in their midsection. It's also important to talk about stacking strategies. Visceral fat is rarely a single pathway problem. It is usually a combination of insulin resistance, hormonal decline, inflammation, mitochondrial dysfunction, and stress. Effective peptide protocols often address multiple pathways simultaneously. A common approach might include a GLP-1-based peptide for insulin and appetite regulation, a growth hormone secretagogue for lipolysis and body composition, and a mitochondrial or anti-inflammatory peptide for metabolic support. Timing matters. Growth hormone peptides are often used at night to align with natural secretion. GLP-1 peptides are usually administered on a consistent weekly or biweekly schedule. Support peptides may be cycled. Lifestyle still matters. Peptides amplify signals. They do not override biology. Resistance training, adequate protein, sleep, and stress management dramatically increase their effectiveness. Visceral fat responds particularly well to strength training combined with improved insulin sensitivity. It's also worth noting that visceral fat loss often precedes visible fat loss. Many people experience improvements in labs, waist circumference, blood sugar, and inflammation markers before the scale moves. This is a good sign. One final note on expectations. Visceral fat did not accumulate overnight, and it does not disappear overnight. Peptides accelerate the process, but consistency matters. Cycling, monitoring, and adjusting protocols based on response is key. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. Always consult a qualified healthcare professional before using peptides or making changes to your health regimen. Thanks for listening. Keep learning and stay curious.